You're listening to the Clean Comedy Podcast with James Creviston and Luke LaCoy.
Hey, everybody, it's James from the Clean Comedy Podcast. This week, it's just me, no David, no Luke, no Danny, no co-host, just me. And today, we're going to talk to the very amazing, the very funny, the very talented Mark Masters, who has started his own comedy festival, the Vail Comedy Festival. So it's in Vail, Colorado, in case you don't know where that is. And we're going to talk to him about it, him setting it up. Now, there was an issue with the pre-recording of this when I did it with Mark, and for some reason didn't record properly, so I had to redo this intro. So just so you know, that's why it's going to look a little bit different. It's going to kind of jump over. So if you're watching it on YouTube, this is why. If you're listening to it, it's just going to lead right into it. So let's jump into it. Let's talk to Mark Masters about the Vail Comedy Festival. Here we go.
Man, so excited to be back on a Clean Comedy Podcast. I listened to that Joe Lauer's episode. Joe's a great dude. Very funny guy. And heck of a organizer. That was not your end, folks. I haven't spoken out loud. I still can't speak. We're warming up the vocal cords. It's early. It's 2 in the afternoon where I am, but for a comic, that's early, everybody. 2 p.m. Here we go. Try this. Joe Lauer's good dude. I am running Vail Comedy Festival. Everybody, vailcomedyfestival.com. You click on it any day, you're going to see something different. We're figuring it out as we go. So yeah, let's talk about it, James.
Yeah, first of all, why would you put that pressure on yourself?
So easy. easy to answer. I always want to do something harder and more difficult because that's how you learn and that's how you grow. I've kind of figured out the comedy show thing. It wasn't an easy ride, but it is going really well. It's really exciting. Our last show was last week. It was sold out. It was packed, really hot. Comics flying in from all over. Next month we got Leah Bonema, who's a hilarious, now used to be in New York City, now she's in Los Angeles. She's been on CBS and IFC and performs for the troops overseas, and she's flying to Vail, Colorado to do my little comedy show.
That's so cool.
I feel like that's like the pinnacle right there. That's the peak. And and you can see some peaks, those of you watching on YouTube background. Once you hit the peak, you gotta choose another one. It's just like you go to your first open mic, and all you want to do is not poo your pants on stage, pass out from stage fright, and then you're like, well, maybe next time I'll actually have a punchline. I'll tell one joke in that 3-minute spot, and then you make another goal and another goal, and you just keep climbing the mountain. And if you ever get to the top of a mountain, you gotta choose a new mountaintop to shoot for. So that's Vail Comedy Festival, Memorial Day weekend, 2022. Everybody,
that's awesome.
It's going to be spectacular or a spectacular failure like Firefest. So either way.
Should we all start posting orange things on our Instagram? That's wild, man. That's
no,
really.
I have some inside information. It's going to be awesome.
Okay.
It's going to be amazing. I know who the headliners are. They're booked. They haven't been announced yet, but they are, like, their credits are ridiculous. It's going to be.
Yeah. I was going to say, I saw that on the site where it was like Comedy Store regular, NBC comedian, and Comedy Cellar regular. So you have a West Coast one, an East Coast one, and then somebody from NBC who's big. So those are the three headliners that I saw there. That's pretty awesome, man. That's amazing. As for other comedians who want to submit to the festival, what are you looking for? What's the criteria here?
Here's the headline news on submitting to the festival that everybody needs to understand. Mark Masters, that's me. That's this beautiful voice you're listening to. Mark Masters is not watching the video submissions.
There you
everybody,
go.
I am not watching the video submissions. We have a committee. They're scoring all the video submissions. Mark Masters has nothing to do with selecting the comedians. I'm picking the venues. I'm setting up the lighting and the sound and doing the ticketing and literally 1,000 other things. But the one thing Mark Masters is not doing is reviewing video submissions.
There you go, you guys. You guys can't make friends with Mark and then expect him to put him on
your
show.
That's what so many people have been texting me and emailing me, like real like vague kind of, you know what they're asking.
Yeah.
Like, hey man, how you been? Haven't talked to you in 2 years. anything you can tell me about Vail Comedy Festival? And the first thing I write back is, I'm not watching the videos.
Oh, but, cool. All right. Hope it goes well. Hope it goes well. All right. Bye-bye. Yeah.
And then like 10 minutes later, their festival submission comes in. Yeah, we're getting great submissions from all over the country. I do see them come in, and it's cool. It's neat. I usually glance at you have to submit a bio. And so I'll glance at the bio, and it's fun to see somebody maybe I worked with a couple years ago or just from a part of the country I'm not super familiar with. So that's neat and fun.
That's awesome,
but,
man.
But yeah, just to break it down, you go to veilcomedyfestival.com. Yep. There's a big button right now. Is this coming out like in the next week? Would you say
it'll come out? Next week. Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday would be
I'm gonna pull
25th.
It up. I think
this will be
right.
out January 25th. So when if you hear this right when it comes out, there'll be a big button at the top that says comic submissions. Starting February 1st, we're gonna hopefully, knock on wood, be selling tickets to the festival for attendees. So if you check after February 1st, there might be a couple buttons you can push, but you want to click the one for comic submission. It takes you over to Eventbrite. So it looks like you're buying a ticket, but that's how all the comedy festivals that I've applied to recently work. They go to some ticketing system because we collect some money to pay the committee and the people who are reviewing the videos and provide a little bit of a barrier to entry, but we're pretty cheap as far as festival submissions go. And then you fill out like 10 form fields, you know, where you're from, your stage name, your bio, some of your links, and then most importantly, a link to a 5-minute video. And, you know, people keep asking me like, do you have any tips for submitting videos? And I'll just tell you what I do when I submit videos. You know, I try and use some combination of the funniest video I have available that fits the time length that the festival is asking for. Our festival is asking for 5 minutes. That's generally the most asked for length. So you should, if you don't have a 5-minute tape, you can take a 10-minute tape and like cut it down to 5 minutes. If you only have a 3-minute tape, you need to go out and record something. Yeah. And maybe this isn't the perfect year for you. You know, it's a goal for the next year to get that good 5-minute tape. But I try and get a combination that's the funniest and the most professional looking possible.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot, because just put yourself in the shoes of somebody who's going to watch 50 5-minute videos. You know, you want to stand out to that person and make a positive impression quickly. You know, right away, if it's a shaky cell phone of a sticky basement bar open mic, you can be hilarious and that will get you pretty far. But it's better to be at like a comedy club that somebody's heard of. You know, like the ideal tape would be just absolutely destroying at the Cellar in New York City.
Right.
And let's be honest. Nobody who is doing that is submitting to the festival, probably. Well, that's not entirely true. We're getting some really good tapes. But, you know, if you're at a regional, you know, you're in the Midwest, whatever the big comedy club is out there, if you ever got a 5-minute spot in there and you can make a killer tape, like that tape's going to be good for you for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's funny is I never submit to festivals. Like that's not a thing I did. My first year of comedy, I wanted to see how I fared, I guess what it was. I want to see like what level am I at, where am I at right now, you know, because some people will try to butter you up like, oh, you're so funny, you should be on TV, you know. And then you're like, am I really that funny, like what's up? So I applied to the Clean Comedy Contest in Pasadena. I paid for it. I went there. There was good classes. I made good friends out of it and all that stuff. It's where I met Luke. And I did pretty well. And I was like, all right, I'm okay. Like, I'm an okay comedian. I shouldn't be on TV yet, right? That was like, for me. So it deterred me from festivals and contests or anything like that, because I was like, all right, I'm not ready yet. And then I don't feel like that now. I feel like I could do that, but I need to do something else because I need to go a different direction. I'm writing so much and I have other projects that are going well that if I stop that process and just try to focus on getting into a festival or getting on X, Y, or Z, you know, America's Got Talent or whatever, it's gonna like swing back the other way and I'll be slow at what I need to be at. So it's a weird way. Either comedians either become great writers or they become great comedians. You can't, I'm finding that it's true. You can't be both things at the same time. It's very difficult.
Huh? Yeah. Talk to Gary Goldman. He's he's a great writer and a great comedian,
but I mean,
it took him 25, 30 years, however long he's been in the game.
Right. So. Because it's probably was a little bit of incremental writing, got better here. And he like did those things. And then that kind of slowed down. And then he incrementally got better at comedy. And then it slowed down. It's just like the latter. But if you go the other way, if you focus on one or the other, you could go up that ladder real fast. It leaves the other one behind. But I'm guessing that's what exactly what he did is he did this ladder way, and it just took a little bit longer. And he's great. I agree with you. Gary Goldman's amazing. But but how many people know him for his writing or his like one or the other? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not – it's hard. Like, Seinfeld got more famous from the TV show than he did from his actual stand-up.
Oh, absolutely.
So, well, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not to say that he's not a great writer and a great comedian, because I think he's fantastic at both. But he had to stop and say, okay, I'm going to do this.
I think the point you're trying to make, James, is if you don't make as much money as Jerry Seinfeld does at stand-up comedy, you should submit to a comedy festival. You're in that Venn diagram, that small group of people who make less money than Jerry Seinfeld, submit to a comedy festival. And what I'd say to you, James, about not submitting to a lot of comedy festivals and anybody else, if you don't feel ready, this is what I did personally when I wasn't ready to submit to a comedy festival. I'm going to, by the way, Snow Jam Comedy Festival this coming weekend in South Dakota. You guys missed it because you're listening to this in the future, but excited to be at that comedy festival. Want to shout them out. Anyways, if you're not really ready to submit to festivals yet, go to one. Reach out to an organizer and say, hey, I want to volunteer, because that's what I did. I've been many years to the Red Clay Comedy Festival in Atlanta, Georgia. I live in Colorado. It's a long way to go. I just kind of picked a festival at random and went the first year and loved it. I got to hang out with famous comedians and meet cool people and just see how the industry works and hang out after. I got to watch a lot of great comedy, which is an incredible thing about going to a comedy festival. You know, you got dozens of hilarious comedians and you're seeing them do their A stuff. They're really, really good stuff. You know, think about going to an open mic. You see 40 comedians and, you know, there's three or four that are good and make you laugh. You go to a comedy festival, there might be 40 comedians and all 40 make you laugh. Like, that's just great. It's good for the soul.
Yeah, no, and I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, for me, it was, I don't know if I want to invest that time in something that it, for me, wasn't, it was just for me, wasn't something I was going to move the needle forward for me. Like, cause my writing is what pays the bills. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Writing funny stuff for people, writing, punching up stuff and doing things like that is what pays the bills. So it's like, okay, I can do it one or the other. Now I'm realizing that my comedy has slowly taken, like, come back down this way. So now I've got to go back up. So it's got to keep going. I've got a Gary Goldman and go back and forth. So it might take me a little bit longer to get where I want to go, but we'll see. Maybe I'll get lucky and I'll Jerry Seinfeld it and, you know, make something a hit. And then I can be like, all right, I'm going to ride that wave. Now I can go do stand up all the time and nobody can harass me about anything, you know?
Yeah. Ironically, Gary Goldman has beef with Jerry Seinfeld. It's funny that we're using them those as examples here.
I didn't know that they had beef. That sucks.
I think it will be amazing on his next special.
Oh, really?
But we'll see about that.
Oh man, that sucks. That makes me sad. I think they're both amazing. I also don't like when comedians have beef with each other. I think who is it? It was Bobcat and Goldman. Yeah, and somebody else he had beef with. Who was the other person? But recently that came out that he had beef with another comedian. I want to say it was Jerry, too.
Well, there's no beef in Vail, Colorado. They're delicious steaks if you're not vegetarian or vegan. Plenty of dining options, but there'll be no beef. It's all going to be a love fest. We're going to be very happy at the Vail Comedy Festival.
Okay, so where do people fly into if they're going to go to Vail? Like, are they flying into Denver?
Great logistical question. You fly into Denver. Okay. It's 100 miles away. You can fly into the Eagle County Airport. They'd probably be mad at me for saying this, but basically there are not many direct flights to that little airport that's like 20 minutes from Vail driving. So it's more likely that you would fly into Denver and you can take one of these, you know, small planes from Denver to Eagle County Airport, which is a regional airport. But then, you know, it's just a small airport. So it's much easier to fly into Denver and then get some kind of there are shuttles that run to Vail.
Oh, well, okay.
There are lots of comics in Denver that would probably drive you for future favors, and we're going to work all that stuff out. Now I'm figuring that out with South Dakota right now that I'm going to next week.
Perfect. And then what about staying there, because it's 3 days, right? It's a three-day festival.
3 days. So it's over Memorial
Day
weekend.
Lodging. That's what's
thinking. And so here's the other thing that I wanted, the number one thing I wanted to communicate is I'm not watching the submission videos. The number two thing is Vail is one of the most beautiful places on earth. But about once every 10 years over Memorial Day weekend, there will be a hellacious snowstorm.
Really?
So, sometime in the next 10 years. And I plan to run this festival for a long time. and it's just going to grow bigger and better every year. We are going to have a funny snow problem where it's going to be really cold and snowy, but everybody will be inside laughing. So it's kind of like the perfect event for that time of year.
So what are the odds of it actually getting a snowstorm? Do you think it's going to happen this year?
I think it's about 1 in 10. No, it's not happening this year. I don't know if you've looked out a window recently, James, but everywhere it is hot and not snowing.
It's raining in LA. It's raining
very,
in LA.
Very strange weather trending away from snow this year.
Except for LA. Like, it's rained more in LA in this last like couple months than I ever remember it raining. It never rains here. Yeah. It's so anyways, weird.
In terms of lodging, if you apply to the festival and you get accepted, there's a good chance that we're going to cover your lodging.
Oh, that's cool.
A lot of budget stuff that's going on and getting sponsorships and how many tickets we can sell that goes into that. We're definitely going to provide some large lodging and transportation help. Different festivals work different ways. We really want to be a festival that when the comics leave this year, they go out and tell everybody, this is the festival you want to apply to for 2023. You know, we had these amazing activities. We had a great time at the comedy shows. There was industry there that we got to show off to. And in some cases, it paid. And in most cases, they helped defray my costs. So it was like reasonable to go to this really beautiful resort town and have a lot of fun and hang out with a lot of comedians.
That's awesome. Are you going to do anything like behind the scenes stuff or red carpet interviews or podcasts from it or anything like that? Are you planning on those kind of things?
Yeah. So we're going to have some special events, probably some live podcast recordings, some like classes, you know, things like let's look at people's websites and maybe update their websites or electronic press kits or, you know, just really maybe somebody who's been to JFL will give a here was my experience going to, or maybe we'll have a panel of people that have been to Just for Laughs talking about their experience doing that. Something to provide content during the day, both for the festival attendees and the comedians who are in the festival, as well as I hope that a lot of comedians will attend who aren't accepted into the festival.
Yeah.
They'll just come because they love comedy and they want to hang out. And who knows, maybe there'll be a drop and somebody will get pulled in and, hey, can you host this show? Can you do five up top and just introduce these 10 comics from all over the country?
Man, I want to bring the Clean Comedy Podcast out there. Maybe we should do that. We should come out there and hang out and see what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're listening to this and you have, this is one of the forum questions on the submission is asking if you have a special show. Like if you have a roast battle show or there's a show out in LA called Boast Rattle, like a positively themed roast battle show.
That's
like
cool.
That would be a good example of a show.
Boast Rattle, like
one man or one woman shows. You know, it's things that are a little different than stand up, but stand up adjacent are very welcome.
Man, that's awesome. We might have to come out there. I don't know if I can get Luke to go. He's big, but I'll come. That sounds awesome. Yeah, man, I've only been to Colorado via the Denver airports, like going to Denver airport, leave. I've never actually been in Colorado ever. Like, so I have no idea.
Get outside that Masonic
LA bubble.
No. The Denver airport. Oh. There are a lot of conspiracy theories about what the Denver airport actually is.
Oh,
so you guys can Google that at home.
I will Google that later.
Get outside that tented bubble. And see some of Colorado. It's beautiful. You'll see the mountains right out the window, and you just drive to them for 2 hours, and you'll be at Vail. It's beautiful, great food, great people. It's just a really nice place to be. You know, you go fly fishing and hiking, and there's all kinds of outdoor stuff to do, and it's going to be a really good time.
That sounds awesome, man. I really am excited for this. I like I said, the World Series of Comedy thing just came up. Like, oh, I'll do it. We'll see what happens. I just wanted the experience and to see what it's about. And I like new experiences. This might be something that I'd be into. I mean, I've done a film festival. We did a film festival in New Jersey 1 year. We didn't win. All the other short films that were submitted were very depressing. And ours was completely the opposite of that, was not depressing at all. And so like threw off the room, like the whole room had just watched like all these videos about people dying from drug overdoses and stuff. And then it's like, hey, we're silly guys who like to talk about animals, you know? And it's like, oh man, it was like not the same. David Studebaker like loves that because it was just so just bizarre. It's just so who we are. We're not that kind of people. Are you going to do behind the scenes? And are you going to do like live
streaming? I'm not quite sure I know what behind the scenes means to you.
Like, are you going to do like a documentary about the first year of, because this is your first year doing it, right?
Yeah, this will be the inaugural Vail Comedy Festival. We hope, you know, in the '80s, Aspen, Colorado had a very big comedy festival.
Yeah.
And my aspiration is to eventually get halfway to how big they were.
Right.
But you wrote about your stuff
and you've done like a first year thing about you. Like, would you do, are you going to do something like a documentary?
I'm sure this will be part of my next book if I ever write one. And I don't finish the book by the time the festival starts. You know, the second book might end right with a cliffhanger right at the beginning of the comedy festival. It'll be the third book that would include the comedy festival. But and there'll be camera. You know how things are. Everybody's got a camera and taking pictures and recording videos, and so there'll be plenty of stuff collected. But that's kind of like asking a comic, "Hey, are you going to put out your best of open mic performances?" Because everybody records everything. Like I just bought a new hard drive the other day, 5 terabytes, because I filled up all my hard drives with video and audio. And I bought it. It's ridiculous. 5 terabytes. When like 10 years ago, that would have cost $100,000 to get a 5 terabyte. It was like $120 for a 5 terabyte hard drive that I'll probably fill up in like 6 months because I record everything.
That's
now,
awesome.
Will I ever weave it into some documentary for Hulu? Who knows? Probably not. Like, I'm too busy touring and performing and organizing things. I can't imagine organizing. I don't know what would be next after the comedy festival.
Right. I think it's awesome, man. And then, is it going to be live streamed? Are you going to do like a Zoom thing or a live streaming or anything like that?
Okay. No, I doubt it. Okay. I mean, sure. I think the closest we might do to that is hopefully we will record all the sets. Like when we do the Vail Comedy Show, I record them in 4K right now from a single camera. I'd love to do multi-camera at some point. And multiple microphones. We have the audience mic'd. We have the soundboard microphone. So it's a fairly sophisticated recording operation. That's a good example. I've 8 terabytes of comedy sets, you know, in 4K and audio. That when am I ever going to get around to editing them and putting them into clips? But anyways, we'll record if we record everything. Some comedy festivals submit stuff to like SiriusXM from the comedy festival and these other Pandora and the other streaming services. So maybe we'll do something like that. Maybe we'll put together like a best of. Like, it's complicated because you got to get releases from the comedians and ask them, hey, is this joke, can I take this joke? So basically what I would do is I would hunt through the footage for like local and topical jokes that I don't think have a long shelf life for that comedian outside of the comedy festival. Like, let's say a moose wandered into a yogurt shop in Vail that week. And somebody had a hilarious 2-minute bit about it. They can't really tell that ever again. It won't make sense to anybody. We might put that onto some kind of album or something that you could buy as a digital download. But that's not really, this is really an in-person experience.
Gotcha.
Focus right now.
Gotcha. I was just trying to think of the ancillary. I always think of ancillary products. So like, how can you make, go above and beyond and do the next thing.
Well, we will have some merch. That's an answer. Hopefully we're going to have some beanies and some posters and some, nice hooded sweatshirts. That will be fun. But I don't know that we'll sell them to anybody except the people who come to the festival.
Gotcha.
You know, because that's kind of the idea. You want that stuff to be special and something that people wear like, hey, I was there. You know, like I experienced this in person.
That's awesome. I'm definitely going to check it out. That's so cool, man. You are constantly doing stuff. I think I'm doing stuff.
I should point out to the listeners, I'm constantly failing is really what I'm doing.
No.
Setting myself up for failure over and over again until the things that used to be hard become easy. Like at this point, going to an open mic is easy. It's on the easy level. It's really like, how do you turn an audience that is cold at a club spot where there's not a lot of people in the audience and you're being paid reasonable money and it's really your professional obligation to get them laughing again.
Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff is hard now. That's kind of my life philosophy is keep trying harder things until the easier stuff seems easy. Like if you can run 20 miles, running a mile becomes very easy. It's like not even worth lacing up the sneakers to run a mile anymore. But if you don't run at all, running a mile is pretty challenging.
I like it. I like it. Well, that's that makes sense, man. You can make anything work. You're good at this.
Sure.
That's great.
Sure. Can I tell you one other thing?
Yeah, James? Please. Yeah.
So I just want to shout this out to the listeners. If you're comedians out there and you like to ski and snowboard, check out veilcomedyshow.com. We just had our first drop-in spot basically somebody who was on a ski vacation. They were in from New York City. It's somebody I'd worked with in New Orleans at a comedy club, and they hit me up several months in advance. That's important. You don't hit me up like the day of, like everything is very organized and kind of rigid in terms of scheduling. But, you know, unless you're Jerry Seinfeld or, you know, pretty big, serious comedian, you can hit me up like you can just show up and, you know, just be like, hey, I'm Jerry. And you'll probably get some time. But if you're not that person and you want to take a vacation to Vail, Colorado anytime, go to veilcomedyshow.com, look at the dates, schedule your people are now starting to schedule their vacations around the comedy shows. We have people from Florida, from New Orleans, from New York City that have reached out and said, just want to make sure this date is legit. And because we're booking hotels and flights right now.
Wow.
And we definitely want to come to the comedy show.
That's amazing, man. Good for you. That's so cool. Like, what a wow. I love it. And
it's just persistence, and you fail a lot. It hasn't been a very clean, like, you're only seeing the end result right now.
Right,
there's
right.
Been a
of
lot
course.
Of trouble along the way. Trust me.
No, as a comedian and a person who's produced shows, I 100% get that. You know, a show falls apart right last minute. Something else comes and ruins the venue, or everyone calls you that day and says, I can't make it. And now it's like you and one other person trying to figure out scramble.
A worldwide pandemic and the county throws new rules at you. We've seen everything in the last 2 years. Very resilient at this point.
That's awesome. What is, and I know that you've performed in 27 states, right? So outside, let's say not Colorado. Okay. Go ahead. What are you saying?
I was just going to say, by the time people hear this, it will be 28.
Okay.
27 is the number. I don't have the number memorized, but it's going to be plus one. Okay. South Dakota is coming up.
All right. So 28, and you haven't been to that one yet, but just let's say for this argument, you have 27. We're not counting Colorado. What has been your favorite state to perform in so far?
Oh man.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, that's such a good question. Let me tweak the question a little here.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a twofer bonus answer. It's going to be, what was my least favorite state and what was my favorite state? And it's the same state. Spoiler alert. Okay, so I'll tell you the least. So I went to a bowling alley in North Dakota, the Chokeberry State, everybody. And I'm a clean comedian. I'm a Colorado's second cleanest comedian, so I can't say what I ate, but I ate a bowl of it, a big heaping bowl of it. I did 30 minutes. I was featuring. And I would say, like, I opened a couple decent minutes, then I had a good 20 minutes where I did not do well, got them back for 6 or 7 minutes, and then somehow lost them in my closer with an NPR joke that works everywhere. And it was so hellacious, the silence, when I was expecting some laughter, that I interrupted my set at like minute 28. And just put my hands up because there was a bright spotlight and just said, what's happening? Are you guys punking me? Like, what's happening? Do you know what NPR is? Like, and people just shook their head. There were like 40 people in a room and 40 people had never heard of National Public Radio. Little tiny town in the middle of nowhere, North Dakota. And that's just an example. I did all kinds of other mistakes. I talked about trail running. None of them cared about trail running. I talked about Walmart being a bad place to visit. They were all like, Walmart's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
We take dates there. What's wrong with you?
You can buy sticks of butter by the dozens and gun ammo. You know, I can get paint and children's bicycles. It's incredible. So we drive 3 hours to go to a Walmart.
Yeah.
Lunch. It's bad. So I had like a 5 minute chunk on that didn't do well. I really didn't do a good job. My jokes didn't travel well to that small part of North Dakota.
Okay.
And then a few months later, I got an opportunity to feature again in North Dakota, and the money wasn't very good. In fact, the amount of money I got paid was within $5 of how much it was going to cost me to drive to the gig round trip. So basically a break-even trip. They were paying for my hotel room, and this was at like a restaurant bar kind of thing, and I completely changed my set. You know, about half of it was the same. And I wouldn't say I got it perfect, but out of the 30 minutes, only like two or three of the jokes would I do over. And when they went poorly, I addressed it. And you know how that goes. You always get a good laugh when you're like, well, that didn't, I'm not telling jokes about elevators in North Dakota anymore. You know?
Yeah.
Laughs because they're there and you're in the moment. And so basically, well, I might as well say, I got paid $200 to do this gig. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but I got paid $200 and it was $200 in gas to get there round trip. But I was on like a revenge tour. It was like personal to me. I wanted to do well in North Dakota. And I got there and here's the incredible, I did really well. And then the headliner gets on and I set up my merch in the back, which is like stickers and my books and just some small things. And about halfway through the headliner set, some guy comes over and just hands me $20. And I'm like, do you want a stick or anything? He's like, no, I work 15 hours a day. I gotta go home and go to bed. But you were hilarious and here's $20. Thanks a lot. And then over the course of the next hour and a half, I sold $183 in merch to this tiny town in North Dakota. So that was the best show ever. I love you, Williston, North Dakota.
That's awesome. The
best. You guys are the best. You really supported me. And so that was a lot of fun. That was North Dakota's the best.
That's so cool.
And the worst. At the same time.
I've heard that. My brother was stationed in North Dakota when he was in the Air Force. He said it was a terrible place. But that's good. See, these are the stories I like to hear because we all remember the stories where we ate it, where we just like, ugh, I can't believe that show went like that. I had to do a show where a guy got up, the first comedian after introduced by the MC said the F word literally 100 times. Like that was his set was how much he loved the F word and all the uses. He did a Jerry Seinfeld bit of like all the way you use the F word and stuff like for, and I was like, wow. And by the time that dude was off stage, every other comedian after that just ate it. Cause the audience was done. They were like, okay, well, you know, you took everything from us in that first, you know, 5 minutes or whatever. And then I got up and I was like, oh man, what am I going to do here? Cause everyone ate it. And it was just like, okay, I'm just going to do this. I'm like, hey guys, I'm not going to say the F word 100 times. And they just laughed. Like that was it. They're like, I was like, all right, let's start fresh. The rest of the show never happened. Now let's do this. And I did it. And then Sean Grant, I remember the other comedian who was the headliner there, Sean G, who goes by Sean G, but Sean Grant comes up and does and murders. He just murders after that. So right before him, he murders. He comes off stage. He goes up to me, he goes, thank you for resetting the room. That was awesome. I would have ate it if you wouldn't have said anything. And I was like, dude, I couldn't just let it go. I had done enough, produced enough shows on my own that I realized what was happening. And I was like, we just need to reset the room. Like the MC just needs to reset the room. Somebody's got to reset the room. Nobody did it. Like it just didn't get reset. And I was like, oh man. So eating is the worst. And also knowing you're probably going to eat it because you watched everybody else eat it before you.
Yeah.
Ooh, that makes you feel. So you're like, you can either go up there and go, I know I'm going to eat it, whatever. Or you can go, you know what? I'm going to try to turn this ship around. Let's see what happens. And it worked out. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I didn't murder, right? That's not what happened for me, but I did a heck of a lot better than anybody else. And by the time I was off stage, they were back to like, okay, we can laugh at stuff. And then Sean G went up and he's a murderer anyway, so it doesn't matter, but he just went up and killed it. So, all right. So VaileComedyFestival.com, correct?
Yep, VaileComedyFestival.com.
You can go on there. You can submit right now. I see the button for comic submissions.
January and February, we're accepting applications from comedians. Sometime in March, we'll let everybody know what's going on.
All right, so you're accepting all the way through February, or like what's the last day?
Yeah, through the end of midnight on 11:59 p.m. Mountain Time on February 28th.
You got it.
Last possible second. And what something else I've been doing, and I think you'll appreciate this, is I've been trying to find as many festival organizers as I can. And I set up these Zoom video chats with them and just am like, tell me the biggest mistake you made in your first year. What's the best thing you did last year? Have you ever had a problem with a performer? How have you dealt with travel? You know, I just ask a ton of questions. And so I've talked to festival organizers, some of them not even comedy festivals, from all around the country. And where was I going with it? One of the comedy festival organizers told me to expect a third of the applications in the last 48 hours.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know if that will happen. I can come back on another time.
I do want to talk to you after the festival, like after the festivals ran, what happened? How did it go? What did you like all the lessons?
If I'm not in prison, like the fire guys.
No, you won't.
Come visit me in person.
Oh, then I'm making a Tiger King documentary about you, by the way. Yes.
That's why you're asking me if I'm recording everything. Yes, I'll record everything. But it's going to be so much fun. I know it's going to be great. It's basically like Vail Comedy Show, which runs very smoothly at this point with a lot of work.
Of course.
A ton of energy into making that happen. It's basically like 10 of those shows in 3 days. So if I can pull that off, then it doesn't seem impossible. It's just like a slightly more famous comics and the number, I should say.
Right.
Some of the Vail Comedy Show comics we have are killers.
Right.
Very famous in their own right. But the Vail Comedy Festival, it's going to be great. You should submit. It's going to be a fun time. And we don't know a ton. Tickets, if you're interested in attending because you're a fan of comedy, February 1st, tickets are supposed to go on sale. That's what we've said. But I'm looking at the calendar right now, and
somehow you're like,
I have to make all the ticket pages, and I have to figure everything out, James. I have to like.
Do you do all the website stuff too? Do you do all the website designs?
I do. Wow. Kind of. I mean, it's a lot of kind of hit or miss. There was a problem, like just to give you an example, when I first put up vailcomedyfestival.com, iPhones couldn't connect over SSL to it, which is a lot of gibberish that I only half understand. But what it means to me is like half the comics couldn't get the web page.
Yeah, because you couldn't get the security.
Been an accidental bonus of having comic submissions before the public, because I got that fixed. And then there was another problem with the website and like the homepage and the name of it that happened. And so we're working out all these kinks now. February 1st, when the ticket sales go online, then it should be hopefully a little smoother sailing at that point.
Man, I kind of want to like go hit up. Did you reach out to like, no, this is too many questions. Did you hit up like your, like
I got all day, man.
I know. Did you like hit up like the, not the mayor, but like the city council or the community thing?
To
get them to be like, hey, can you get us for the show?
Hey, everybody, if you're traveling to Vail, Colorado, discovervail.com.
There you go.
Friend, sign up for their newsletter. I'm now obligated to say that in most public appearances. We are sponsoring the festival. We have buy-in from the town of Vail, and they're helping out. And I think one of the funny variables in this whole thing is we don't know how many tickets we're going to sell. Like, are we going to sell 100? Are there going to be 100 festival goers? Or are there going to be 1,000? And depending, our headliners have performed for anywhere from 10,000 people to 10 people. And so we need to put them in a room that is full and fun. So if there are going to be 150 people, we want like 150 to a 200 person room, and we're going to fill it up. But if only 75 people are coming, we want an 80 person room for those headlining shows. Yeah. And so all that stuff, we're still figuring it out. And the town of Vail has been a great partner because they have their own venues that they rent out at huge expense to people. And because they're supporting this event, they are, they're giving us, we haven't worked out all the details, but they're going to give us a discount and help.
That's so cool, man.
That happen.
This is awesome.
I've been working on it for like a year, to give you an idea. If you've ever watched Parks and Rec, just imagine trying to put something together with that team. Like, it takes a long time. It takes a long time to get this stuff going. And it seems like it just got thrown together recently, but realistically, like, I've been working with agents in Hollywood for some of these comedians for a very long time, and venue owners and hotels. And there's a lot of moving parts that I've had to work on. And yeah,
that's awesome.
Who knows? It could be part of a future book, How to Run Your Own Comedy Festival.
Hey, here's the name for it. So you're gonna do that. That's gonna be the subtitle. But the main name of the book is called What the Vail.
What the Vail? Not the Mega Vail. Festival of Comedy.
Fail and Vail. No, that's not gonna fail.
Chapter one will be Don't Do It. That's so it's so funny. One of my favorite local comedians. I won't out him by saying his name, but he's been on Comedy Central and stuff. He's a Colorado guy. Great dude. And I met him at an open mic, one of my first like 10 open mics. And I was just like, hey, man. And I just wanted to talk to him and ask him questions. And, you know, some comics are like, I don't have time for you, dude. I've never seen you. I don't want to talk to you. He's always, the whole time I've known him, he's been very generous. And here's a great lesson. I recently had, I got a corporate booking for a convention and had to put on an hour and a half comedy show for 300 people in a ballroom. And it was a fairly well-paying thing. You better believe I reached out to this guy who was nice to me 3 years ago at a dingy open mic, he was the first person I called and he was like, I'd love to do it, you know, and he got a huge payday out of it. And he had no idea 3 years ago that was, you know, just by being nice to this random stranger, that was going to happen. But anyways, I asked him, you know, any tips on comedy. And the first thing he said was, quit right now. I've been doing this for 15, 20 years. Well, I forget how long he's been doing it. But the best advice I can give you is quit right now. And at the time, I thought it was funny and I laughed. And the more I get along in my comedy journey, I understand what he was saying.
Quit while you're ahead. Awesome. Thank you, Mark, so much. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please go to veilcomedyfestival.com or go to markmasters.co because that's his website.
Yeah.
And you can check it out there.
Can I say one other thing?
Yeah, do it.
If you like that North Dakota story that I told about doing weird comedy gigs, that's what I do once a month in a monthly newsletter. And if you go to markmasters.co, that's CO like Colorado because I couldn't afford the .com. There is a sign up for the newsletter. Just sign up. It's one email a month. You don't even have to read it for the first 3 or 4 months. But eventually you'll read one, and I think you'll get a kick out of some of the stories in there.
Am I in there? I'm going to sign up for it now. I don't even know how to sign up. So I'll double check.
I'll tell you this as well. I did break 100 subscribers at the beginning of this year, and I'm even higher now, but I send a personal thank you to everybody who signs up because it means a lot to me. And eventually I won't. I say this in most of the thank yous. I'm like, while I'm still small, I want to send a personal thank you to everybody who signs up. And so I know I haven't sent an email to you thanking you for something.
I just signed up right now. I just did it right while we're on the podcast. So
it's that
awesome.
Easy, everybody.
Yeah, it's that easy. It just did it. Google. Thank you, Google. You know everything about me. All right. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please go check out Mark. Please go check out the Vail Comedy Festival. This is going to be awesome. I'm so excited that this is happening for you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please like, subscribe. Please also go check out the new Instagram for the Queen Comedy Podcast. We have an Instagram now. I'm putting up stuff every day or two and stuff. I'm doing a lot of throwbacks to old shows. And I put up the first produced show poster I ever made with me and Jenna Kim Jones on it. And she was the first headliner that I had headline a show. That wasn't my birthday. I will put up the birthday poster that I made. I will do that at some point, which was a ripoff of the Die Hard poster. I put my face on there and then I like did like a whole thing. And so it was like Die Hard for my birthday, but
Nakatomi Tower in it.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
All right.
And I have the big framed one in my house and it's signed by all the comedians that were on the show and stuff. And Preacher Lawson signed it and stuff.
I thought you were talking about the actual Die Hard movie.
Oh no, I wish. Jesus.
Like Bruce Willis and the terrorist. And that would be amazing.
Yeah. If I could get that, that'd be awesome. When I'm a millionaire, that will be in my house for sure. Yeah. But right now. But my birthday poster I had made full size, theatrical size, and then so Preacher Lawson, before he got super famous, like signed it and stuff, and so it's really cool. It's a great thing. So
thank you,
everybody. Thank you, Mark. Please go check it out. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.